Yes, welcome back to Morning Glory. A little bit later, we've got Liam Alexander with the movie of the week, and it's been a movie I've been agitating for about 6 weeks now, and it's a lesson for your kids out there. Whinge enough and your dreams will come true. It's Chasing Dreams, and Kevin Costner film, even though he's in it for about a minute and a half, and probably, Ben, would you suggest the worst movie of all time?
I admit I didn't get through it. And when you can only find a movie on YouTube, you know it stinks.
Yeah. Yeah, got some feedback, Benny?
I do have a feedback here. A nice little message here. Matty Joey Webby, great show. We never do this. We never pop ourselves up.
No, anyway. Right.
Is that any,
this is fake.
Great show. Is that all it was?
Yeah. Oh. And then going, beyond this year, please do not return to Triple M, Matty. We love you.
Well, I'm not.
Why would you go back to morning radio?
I know. Well, I'm
mate,
not.
How much cash do you need?
Yeah, well, hey, that jet doesn't fuel itself. I'm not going back. I have too much of a good time here. I'm enjoying life too. Fox Sports here. It's good. Don't need to go back to Brekkie Radio. Boys, two sides eliminated last week. Firstly, Webby on Parramatta. If you told me a month ago that Parramatta would again be eliminated the second week of the finals, I'd say Brad Arthur is in enormous trouble.
Yeah. I think there were a few murmurs. I know there were a few murmurs out of the club about him possibly not seeing out the final year of his contract next year. But I think the way they finished off.
Yes.
And I also think, realistically, a lot of it was just noise. I don't think there was anything at a really serious level in terms of board who don't seem to have the factions that it used to ever since they had the big salary cap scandal and they had to have a whole review of their corporate governance. Mm. I don't think it was ever in any real danger whatsoever. Just this typical noise that comes when Parramatta are going to fall short again. But what happens next year?
Yes.
This is the cycle that clubs find themselves in. Coaches in the last year of their contract, do they re-sign them after 8 games to try and take out the uncertainty so they can start recruiting, because players want to know who, and player managers use it as leverage, they want to know who the coach is, or do they wait till they see how it's going to pan out again?
Geez, some clubs get conned into that, don't they? Naive
100%.
Boards, they get there, the coach will go and say, hey, listen, if you don't re-sign me, guess what, I'm going to be on the market, and they panic and sign. Well, if you're under pressure, there's a fair chance that no one, there's not going to be a raft of clubs trying to get signature.
A club like Parramatta should be able to sign a player regardless of who the coach is.
Yeah.
The club of that stature. A club like the West Tigers at the moment, that might be a bit more problematic.
The nature of the loss was encouraging. That's the thing that means that Brad doesn't go into the off-season with any pressure. But their first win over Newcastle, that first week of the final, wasn't impressive. Mm. If they'd have been, just if the scenario was, imagine last week they were beaten by 30, 40 points, there'd be serious questions.
There would have to be. Mm.
No dummy halves was big. No Reid Marnie and no Joey Lussick. Ray Stone went to dummy half. Ray doesn't play in that position. Mm. Incredibly tough and courageous.
Geez, he defended well. Oh, you picked it 2 weeks ago.
Tough. But you need that bit of polish. And late in the game when the ball went to Junior Paulo and... But there's some great signs there from Parra. Will Tennessee, the centre.
He's great, wasn't he?
He's a good player.
What about the loss? Were they robbed?
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know. Like they had their chances. There was the lay-down situation towards the end, which the...
Mitch Kenny.
Yeah, the Mitch Kenny situation. But it's been going so long in the game. At the end of the day, like we saw the Fergo one. The Fergo one as well.
That was one of the greats.
Yeah. So it was just that the field position really hurt the Eels. But, we've seen the Fergo one. This has been going on for the game for so long. I mean, fellas, where did we get to that suddenly a bloke turns his ankle and you have to stop play?
Mm.
Like, it's just crazy.
Because of litigation. They're terrified of someone suing the game without doubt. Duty of care, all those stupid words that they've all put together. But... he's 40 metres away from the play. Just let the play go. And if Penrith get the ball and they get near him, stop the game then.
I reckon the NRL have dropped the ball on it, to be honest, because remember the whole thing around trainers and after Travis Toomer was hit during that 2019 grand final, and then they brought out all these new edicts around trainers being on the field and when they could be on the field. And then, like everything in the game, it's the flavour of the month for a month and then it disappears.
I just find it funny. The coaches whinge and they're the one... They're constantly finding a way
to try and manipulate.
It's just when it affects them.
I do think I don't like with the crusher crackdown and the head high crackdown how all of a sudden you've got players appealing for head high penalties all the time.
It used to be a badge of honour. I can remember coming through at Newcastle and there was a catch cry of, show a jersey. I don't care how injured you are, you get up and show a jersey in the defensive line. We laugh at soccer. We laugh at the antics of when guys pretend to be even hit. They don't get hit and they roll around on the ground. That's what rugby league's becoming. It's embarrassing.
Well, it undermines the RLPA, who go around talking about player welfare and a fair go for the players, yet they're more than happy to lay down and get a peer suspended.
Yes. Well, Ricky Stewart called me after the win over the Roosters midway through last year, and Ricky was blueing, and Ricky rarely blues after a win, particularly, and that was a great win over the Roosters that night, but there was a few incidents in that game that he didn't like, and he said, I'm sick of players diving. He said, are we going to become soccer? It's a real issue for the game. And I don't think the game ever looked at it. I don't think they ever took it seriously. Yeah, and I think it's become worse than ever. And that game showed it on the weekend.
I remember Alan McMahon. Alan McMahon was the one that Joey said drove that policy that basically it didn't matter what happened to you. Get in the defence line. And then once we get the ball back, then seek treatment if you need to.
But back in the day, when you guys played, if you stayed down for a I know there's gamesmanship, but then there's also taking a dive. You'd never do that, would you?
I can't remember anyone taking a dive when I was
playing. I remember
because you'd cop it, wouldn't you?
One day they played the Broncos, Newcastle in 92, and Robbie McCormack, and it was touch and go. It was about 14-12, and Newcastle are attacking around 40 metres out, and Robbie McCormack, the Moth, took the ball up. Lazo picked him up, got wrong-footed, picked him up and literally spear-tackled him, and Moth jumped straight to his feet and said, I'm fine, and shook Lazo's hand. And it was like, it was just play on.
Man, that wouldn't happen these days.
No. Buck Shelford.
Oh, there's a blast from the
taping
past.
Up his ruptured testicle.
Yes.
Do you reckon he laid down? No. And what? And he's revered now because of that act of courage and toughness.
Dave Mullane. Remember Bugsy? Bugsy played the Gold Coast one day in season 91. He was playing hooker. It's tough as bloke. I haven't seen someone tougher play rugby league than David Mullane. Blocker still says, mate, I ran it up once. He goes, when you played Newcastle, there's Mark Sargent, Tony Butterfield, all these monsters, and there's this little hooker. And he said, I just ran at him, and he said he broke my bottom rib, jammed me under the ball. They play the Gold Coast one day, and a bloke called Keith G ran up and lifted his knee, hit Bugsy in the testicles. Bugsy initially went down, then got to his feet. They defended two sets of six on their own line. Then he had to get off the field, and his testicle had exploded.
Keith G, is he the guy that played the saxophone? Was that Kenny?
No, that was Kenny G.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Sammy? Sammy Burgess. He wouldn't take a dive.
Oh, not a chance.
You know, I still think when I think of Sam, when he had the compound fracture of his finger and the bone was sticking out and blood pissing everywhere, he just ran over the train and said, tape that up so he could keep playing.
Mate.
Can you imagine that? He had a bone. They said, Sam, there's a bone sticking out of your finger, brother.
You should see him on that SAS show. It makes you actually proud to be a rugby league player. He is so, so good on there. He is such a good leader. You've been watching him, Benny, haven't you?
I watched when he belted Heath Shaw.
Yes.
In that milling.
Mate, yes. Fair play to Heath Shaw. He's come off really good too. He was tough. He selected Sam.
And he's a tough guy, Heath Shaw. He's tough in the AFL. Giants?
Yeah, he did. He Giants played for Collingwood. He played played 324 games in the AFL.
And is he a Sydney boy?
No, he was a Melbourneite.
I was quite surprised watching that. There's some guys that I thought would be good fighters.
That weren't. No.
I don't want to name names.
Dan Ewing, he talks about, in my meditation, I take myself to a different place. It's the thing of survival. Well,
to Summer Bay.
He got picked out, right, and they went out with Kobe Haverton. And one of the SAS players goes, oh, here we go. Got a bra boy versus a fake bra boy, right? and Dan Ewing just put his hands up, refused to. He was terrified. And the SAS was going, throw a punch, throw a punch, throw a punch. It's very good. The ones who have stood out on SAS, Yana Pittman is outstanding.
Really?
Isabel Cornish, younger, who is an actor, who is the most. She's tough.
She's a Newcastle girl, I'm sure.
Is she? Doesn't whinge one bit. Does not whinge. Don't hear a peep out of her. John Stepherson, Very, very good. Mark Philippoussis is hilarious. He's so good.
And we found out why Pete Murray didn't really have a storyline. He dislocated his elbow.
Pete Murray, they picked out Mark Philippoussis, right, for the fight. Anyway, they get Mark Philippoussis.
There's a fight you'd never expect to see. No. Mark Philippoussis and Pete Murray in
This is poor old Pete Murray's like. So they get Mark Philippoussis in and they say, listen, we just think that you don't have the hunger to succeed, to push yourself. And Philippoussis is really open and says, what happened with tennis and how he lost the fire in his belly. And he said, I struggle to keep motivated. Anyway, the fight happens and they go, righto, you versus you. It's Pete Murray versus Philippoussis. Well, Philippoussis decides, okay, I'm going to fire up here. And poor old Pete Murray dislocates his elbow. Right. But Philippoussis has been outstanding. He's a bloke that you really like. Very vulnerable, but really, really good fella.
There you go.
Just quickly, boys, 2022 for Parramatta. What do you think? Improve, status quo, go backwards?
I think improve. Some of the younger players in particular, Will Penis. So is that how you pronounce it?
Tennessee.
He's a good player. Mm. He's going to be a top line.
I can't see him winning the comp.
No. I sort of see him around the same spot again, yeah. Which would be interesting.
What do you think will happen with Gutherson?
I think he'll stay.
Mm. Yeah,
I think a lot of that was gibber talk about him wanting $1 million. Mm. I think that story got out of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's living on the northern beach. He's got to pay for those tolls.
Yeah,
going out to Parramatta.
I might lend him a jet. We'll take a break. After the break, we're going to talk about who hit the iceberg this week.